Welcome to Revelation. This is the classroom of the air, bringing you truth for today. I bless you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe God himself is going to give you a revelation from his word today as we study the Bible together. Today is lesson number 2 in our teaching series called The Return of the King. We're studying what the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus Christ and what his return will mean for you and me. Last week, we began our series on the return of the King by talking about the fact that when he comes again, he promises to redeem us. How wonderful it will be to know that Jesus Christ has come to redeem us not only in this life, but to redeem us fully when he comes again. But that's not his only purpose in his return. There's a second purpose for Christ's coming again. See, he's also coming to reward us for our works done here on earth. One of the main purposes of God in the second coming of Christ is to reward his people. Isn't that good news? Those of us who are serving the Lord now on this earth are promised a reward when Jesus comes again. But the sad thing is, most of us don't really understand how the rewards are going to be given out. We fail to really discover the basis on which God will reward us. It reminds me of a funny story I heard about a taxi driver and a pastor. One day, a taxi driver and a pastor both died and were standing in line to get into heaven. The taxi driver approached the gate and St. Peter said, "Welcome. I understand you were a taxi driver on earth. Since I'm in charge of housing, I believe I found the perfect place for you. See that mansion over there? That's yours." The pastor heard all this and began to stand a little taller. He was excited. He said to himself, "If a taxi driver got a mansion like that, just think of what I will get." So the pastor approached the gate and St. Peter said, "Welcome. I understand you were a pastor in life. See that small little hut in the valley? That one is yours." Well, St. Peter had hardly gotten the words out of his mouth when the pastor became angry. He said, "Hey, I was a pastor. I preached the gospel. I helped teach people about God. Why does that taxi driver get a mansion and I, a pastor, get a small hut?" Sadly, St. Peter responded, "Well, you see, it's all about results. We're rewarded based upon our results. Whenever you preached, people used to fall asleep. But whenever the taxi driver drove, he drove so wild, people would start praying and calling upon God. He got more results than you." Well, friends, that's just a funny story. I'm not sure any taxi drivers will actually get a mansion in heaven. But one thing is clear from the Bible. Jesus spoke often about our heavenly rewards. He encouraged his people over and over again that God is faithful to reward us. But we need to understand exactly how we're going to be rewarded, because unfortunately, many Christians may end up like that pastor. They may be expecting a reward that does not come because they had the wrong idea about what types of work would be rewarded. So, before we get too excited about our heavenly reward, we need to understand that not all Christians will be rewarded. In fact, the Bible tells us plainly that some will receive a crown and some will go into eternity empty-handed. The good news for you today is that you can find out from God's word what will earn you a heavenly reward when Jesus comes again. So let's begin today's teaching by looking at a very important passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 to 15. "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, did you hear the message God is giving to us today through Apostle Paul about our heavenly rewards. If you're going to receive a reward when Jesus comes again, then there are three truths you need to know today from this passage of the Word of God. Here are three truths about our heavenly reward. First of all, a heavenly reward requires that you build on the right foundation. You see, in life, if you want a strong building, you have to lay a strong foundation. No matter how beautiful a building may be, it will only be as strong as the foundation it's built upon. It's true in construction, and it's true in your spiritual life as well. The taller the building, the deeper the foundation must go. And the importance of a good foundation cannot be overemphasized. It must be strong, it must be deep, and it must be made of the right materials. Jesus himself talked about the importance of the foundation in Matthew chapter 7. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Friend, do not be deceived today. Not every building will last into eternity. Not every work you do will survive the second coming of our Lord. The only foundation we can build upon is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. For Paul tells us in verse 11, there is no other foundation. The only way to begin building is building on Jesus. And when you do, then when the storms come, he will be your foundation and Jesus cannot fail. What does it mean to have Jesus as our foundation? Well, first of all, it means that he is the source of everything we do. All of our life and all of our work is built on him. As Jesus himself said, he is the vine, we are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. Earlier in this passage, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul tells us that it is God who gives the increase. Listen to what he said. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. You see, friend, I may be talented, but I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. I may be educated, but I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. I may be experienced, but I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. He is my all and all. He is my source. So let me ask you a question. Do you ask God to guide you what to do? Or do you decide on your own what to do and then ask God to bless your plans? If you want a reward in eternity, you have to build on God's plans, not your own plans. To have Jesus as your foundation means that he is the source of everything you do. And secondly, it means he's the reason for all you do. Many men serve God today for different reasons. The ultimate motivation of our lives must always be, however, to please the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're serving Jesus Christ just for what you can gain or so that you can have popularity or fame, then you are wasting your effort and losing your reward. The sad thing today is to realize that many people are working in the church for wrong motives. They're not seeking the glory and honor of Christ, but they are rather seeking their own glory and their own honor. Once a person left my church. When they were asked why they left, they said they left because they were not given a position in the church. But if you leave a church because you weren't given a position, then it means you are more interested in your own glory and praise than in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For when you love God, and when all that you're doing in life is to please and glorify him, you will work for him whether you are recognized by men or not. For you're not serving men. You're serving God. It troubles me today that a lot of young men in Bible school want to start out holding a microphone and preaching. They're not willing to serve behind the scenes. They want to rather be seen. When I was in Bible college, I remember started serving in the children's church. No one recognized me. No one applauded me, but I didn't care. I wasn't looking for the praise and recognition of men. I wanted to serve Jesus. I knew His eye was upon me, and I was living to please Him, whether men saw me or not. Jesus tells us plainly in Matthew chapter 6, if you're seeking a reward here on earth, if you're seeking the praise of men and the applause of men, you will have your reward here on earth, but you will have no reward in heaven. Remember, Jesus told us, don't fast to be seen by men. Don't pray so that men will think you are spiritual. Don't give so that men will applaud you. For if you do those things, your only reward will be the praise of men. You have no reward in heaven. But if you do all that you do, fasting and praying and giving, so that Jesus will be glorified, if you do them for the glory of Christ, then you have a reward in heaven. Even preaching the gospel can be done from a wrong motive of heart. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 1:15. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. So friends, listen to me for a moment. God is not impressed with all your outward works, your preaching, your praying, your fasting. He's looking at your heart. Why do you do the things you do? And if you do them for a wrong motive, your only reward will be on earth. It will perish with fire. But if you're living for the glory of God, then you have an eternal reward. Many years ago, I participated in a crusade in Nigeria. And I remember at the time I was very troubled by what happened because there were a number of pastors on the platform at the crusade. And I can remember the MC of the program took a long time introducing each and every one of the ministers. He went on and on praising them and telling people all their great exploits. In fact, it took him almost as much time to introduce the people on the platform as he spent preaching the gospel. The people were so interested in naming all the men of God and giving them all the praise and showing all their accomplishments, they had little time left for the word of God. But friend, it's not important for you to know about me. It's not important for you to know about other men. It's important that you know about Jesus Christ. So don't go and flatter men of God and lift them up. Let's rather lift up the name of Jesus. For you see, friends, God will not share His glory with any man. If you are seeking self-glory, you will not have any reward in eternity. For 1 Corinthians 3:21 says, "So then, no more boasting about men." And I rebuke those proud and arrogant pastors who are always trying to exalt their own name and have no desire for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. You're building on a wrong foundation. Friends, you have to build on the right foundation to get an eternal reward, the foundation of Jesus Christ. You have to have Him as the source. You have to let Him be your all in all. Let Jesus be the only source of all you do, and let Him be the only reason why you do what you do, and you will build on a foundation that will earn a reward. And that brings us to our second truth today. The second truth about our heavenly reward is this: a heavenly reward requires the right method of building. You see, Paul says in verse 10, "But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Everybody say how. So let me ask you, are you building carefully or carelessly? To build for eternity means we always give God our very best. Once there was a father who was a wealthy contractor. He built beautiful houses and made a lot of money. When his eldest son graduated from university, he went to work for the father. The father gave him the task of building a certain house in their hometown, and the son set to work. But because the son was greedy, he decided to use cheap materials and pocket some of the money. He bought the lowest quality he could find. He didn't want to pay for good workmanship, so he hired the least expensive workers. They did a very bad job, and the house was not good at all. It was unlike the other houses the father had built. The roof was leaking, the doors were creaking, and the windows were crooked. The floor was cracked, and the stairs were uneven. The house was a mess. So imagine the son's surprise when the father announced that the very house the son had built was the one he was going to give to that son as his inheritance. "Oh no," the son said, "if I had only known, I would have made the house better." But it was too late. And so it is with many Christians. We give God our leftovers. We give him our leftover time, our leftover money, our leftover strength, and then we expect a mansion in heaven. But all we'll receive is a tiny hut made from leftovers. The key to how you build is to make sure you include yourself in the building process. For look at verse 9 in 1 Corinthians. Paul said, "You are God's building." So we not only have to give God our best, but we actually have to give him all of us, our whole being. We have to make sure that we're not just serving him with our works, but we're serving him with our entire lives. One time a Christian brother slept and had a dream. In the dream, he saw himself in heaven. An angel came to talk to him. First, the angel brought him a gold crown. It was so beautiful, full of diamonds and beautiful jewels. "Is that my crown?" the brother said. "Is that my reward?" The angel replied, "This was to be your reward. This was what God prepared for you if you would serve him in your youth. But you chose instead to pursue sexual pleasure and temporary enjoyment, and you lost this crown." Then the angel put the gold crown away and brought a silver crown. It was also beautiful, but not as nice as the gold crown. "Is that my crown? Is that my reward?" the brother asked. The angel replied, "This was to be your reward. This was what God prepared for you if you would serve him in middle age. But you chose instead to pursue business and money, and you lost this crown." Finally, the angel brought a crown made from wood. It wasn't very nice, but at least it was still a crown. "Is that my crown? Is that my reward?" the brother asked. The angel replied, "This was to be your reward. This was what God prepared for you if you would serve him in your old age. But you chose instead to be proud and lazy, and you lost this crown." So the brother ended up with nothing. And then he woke up. He was too busy serving himself. He followed his lust, his pride, and his greed, but he never followed God. You see, friends, it's not enough to be called. You've got to obey the call. You've got to give the Lord your entire life. Samson was called, but he failed to overcome his lust. Saul was called, but he failed to overcome his own pride. Judas was called, but he failed to overcome his own greed. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after having preached to others, I myself might be disqualified. Every one of us needs to build. We all need to grow. We all need to discipline ourselves so that we stay on the path of righteousness. For you see, the method of building that honors God is to give him your best and give him your all. That's why Romans chapter 2, 21 to 24 says, "Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You're so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you." One of the saddest visions I ever heard about was of a man who was shown a vision of hell. He said there were many different kinds of people in hell, all different people that you would never expect to see there. But one of the most surprising was he saw a pastor in hell, and he could hear the pastor screaming in the torment, "It was church money I stole. It was church money I stole. If you can get me out of this place, I promise I will return the church money. I promise I'll bring it back." But there was no way out for him. Many people are busy in the church. They look as if they're building for Christ, but they're only building for themselves. They may have a reward on this earth, but they have no reward in heaven. For when the King comes again, everything they've done will be burnt with fire. So how do we earn a heavenly reward? You've got to build on the right foundation. You've got to build with the right method. And third, you've got to build with the right materials. We need materials that will last. For the Bible says, if you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, they will endure. But wood, hay, and stubble will fade away and be destroyed. So what is it that will last about our work? Is it the buildings we build? All those will be burnt with fire. For the Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away and everything in it. What is it that will build and last for eternity? Is it the name that we have, the reputation of our ministry? There are no different ministries in heaven. Is it the message we preach? They won't sell my CDs in heaven. The only thing we can take with us from this earth to heaven is other souls. You may have done 1,000 good works for God, but only the souls of men will accompany you to heaven. Friends, the building that will last in eternity is the building made of God's people, redeemed by His blood and dressed in white. As we prepare to close this broadcast, let me read the words of Jesus found in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand, and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the King will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And He will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Jesus Christ is giving you the opportunity today to build on the right foundation. He's giving you the offer to build using the right methods. And He's reaching out to you and calling to you that you should build with the materials that will last for all of eternity. A heavenly reward requires that you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. A heavenly reward requires that you build using the method of surrendering your life to Him. And a heavenly reward requires building with materials that will last, investing in souls for the glory of God. May the Lord give you the grace and the strength to build for eternity.